corporate candy floss news and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, because here, the expression is still free. It's Monday the 8th of August, and tonight we'll be going into the background to a recent publication of the CIA Internet Fakes article. And I'll be taking a little break as an interviewer. Instead, I'm going to be interviewed by Kathy McMahon, here on The Next Level, on breakfornews.com.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And this is Fintan Dunn reporting. You're very welcome. I'm here with Kathy McMahon.
Hi, Fintan.
How you doing, Kathy?
I hope you're not too nervous.
I'm quite relaxed. I know it's going to be a tough interviewer.
Well, I mean, I'm not joking. It is.
But I'm still relatively relaxed. After all, it could be worse. It could be the CIA interviewing me. And I'm almost certain you're not working for them, Kathy.
Are you sure?
No, not entirely.
No. Okay, well, I asked you, could I interview you? And I think, first of all, who is Fintan Dunn?
I have a background in social activism prior to getting involved in this, so we'd already been active as researchers on the internet because of our work on HIV/AIDS, exposing the machinations of the pharmaceutical industry, and of course they still go on today. So we were a bit tuned in, and so when 9/11 came along, we just extended the kind of research we'd already been doing and published those articles, which were famous at the time anyhow.
You know, it kind of shocks me that I was actually in there doing that.
I think it's been an educational experience for us all, 9/11. You know, it has and is still teaching us a lot about the society in which we live.
Mm-hmm. But who is Fintan Dunn?
And getting back to that, prior to that, of course, you were involved with me as well in launching and running Men's Aid, which was a men's support group in Ireland, which did suicide support, in fact, ran a suicide prevention helpline, a hotline, and we were on the other end of those telephones. Both you and I were active in local radio and on national radio on the issue of male suicide, which peaked in Ireland around 1999. So, and when 9/11 came on, well, we were just there. I don't know how it was us that published those first two major articles on it, but there you go, it was.
Mm-hmm. Just for the benefit of the listeners, what is your full-time occupation?
This is my full-time occupation. Has been for the last 4 years. I've been engaged in this work, and prior to that in the suicide prevention work. It's social activism. I've been working now as a social activist for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And in terms of sources of income, our listeners, you know, have been very supportive, and without them we simply wouldn't be here. Without spending that intensive time over the last 4 years on this issue, wouldn't be possible to make the assertions that I'm making in terms of CIA control of alternative media, etc. We just simply wouldn't know. We were on the internet 7 and 14 days afterwards. We launched a forum, and it was your own research, Kathy, that uncovered information about people who were already joining our forum at that early stage, just literally in the weeks after 9/11, and indications, as far as we could see, that one of those people was CIA.
Exactly. I think I remember actually doing a bit of a background check on somebody and discovering...
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were aware of intelligence agency interest in what we were at from very early on. The approach we took then was we came off the net altogether, and when we came back on, it was with a long-term objective to find out what was going on. And so that's been the approach, and that's what's led to this work now.
Do you think you're the only person with the truth?
No, I don't. And I'm not saying that I'm disagreeing with websites that I've listed. It's not a question of, you know, I disagree on a policy level with where they're coming from or something. I'm not disagreeing with these people. I'm saying that there is a behind-the-scenes CIA manipulation and management of the 9/11 issue. And some of that is true websites that are actively controlled by the CIA, 100%, working to the agency's agenda. And some of that management of information takes place by manipulating others.
Okay, so those websites, would they be aware of what's happening?
Some, I'm sure, wouldn't be aware. They would be accepting on face value what seemed like to them breakthroughs on the 9/11 issue, etc. But that hasn't been the criteria I've used. The criteria I've used where there are websites that I don't feel are 100% run by the agency is to identify those sites on the basis of the generality of information they're putting out. If I feel that the majority of the information the website is putting out is consistent with what the CIA is looking to achieve, well, then I've got to warn people about that. I've got to let them know about that. And that's what I've done.
How sure are we that it is the CIA?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question, because when I use the word CIA, I'm using shorthand. It's a shorthand to say CIA, but of course it's bigger than just the Central Intelligence Agency. The NSA in the United States is a military intelligence operation. Much of the CIA's activity, the actual legitimate day-to-day activity of the CIA, is acting in support of business interests of US corporations around the world. And that's a pure business matter. There are political aspects of that that come into it. And then, of course, there are military issues which come in. And the more you move into political and military, the more you move into the ambit of the NSA and not the CIA. Looking beyond that, it's clear that there is coordination between the CIA and both of the intelligence agencies in the United Kingdom, MI5 and MI6, and also French and German intelligence and Russian intelligence. All you have to do is look at the policies and approaches of those countries to see that their political approaches are consistent with their intelligence agency approaches. And that leads us into what I feel is the major breakthrough that this work represents, which is this, that a lot of people have been talking about 9/11 as if it has come out of a rogue group within the United States. What I'm saying from this analysis is that it's not just an issue of Bush and Cheney, that 9/11, it was G8 sanctioned. I'm not saying that every member country of the G8 was in on the planning and execution, but I'm saying that G8 members nodded their heads silently in acquiescence to the plans of certain G8 members.
I have to say, as much as I've been involved in research in the work that we've done, I find it very hard to believe that any human alive would perpetrate or knowingly allow the atrocities that have happened to happen.
Yeah, that's certainly hard to take and hard to understand how people could participate in that. But the people who actually executed the operation were military people, and they were charged with a military task. Those kind of people exist, and they did the hardcore stuff. But outside of that, others have rationalized their behavior. That's why they're participating in it. Certain elements within the G8 power structure, and that extends into organizations such as the CFR, for example, and the other international corporate organizations, they see a dangerous world. They don't perhaps realize exactly what they're doing in their attempts to be in control of that dangerous world. And so they talk themselves into the idea of mounting this kind of an operation for the overall security of the globe. And that becomes their objective. And the books they use to guide them in achieving those kinds of geopolitical social objectives are books like that written by Machiavelli. So at that level, at the level of power, the only thing that matters is the state power, the achievement and retention of power, and human beings, that they lose their realness to these people.
Yeah, it's like, this week with the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the pilot who flew the plane over Nagasaki said that he'd do it again. And I just couldn't understand that. But now, you know, what we're talking about and what you've just said, I can see where it's kind of just a duty. It was just something he'd done. He doesn't have a conscience about it.
Yes, to an extent, it's not his job to think.
Somebody wanted to know, would you care to explain how sites got on your list?
What I'd rather do is to look at the big picture of what's going on. And then from that big picture, I think it'll be apparent to people why different sites are doing what they do and where they fall into the bigger picture. And I think that people can have some confidence in where I'm coming from on this because of two things. One is, it was about a year ago I first began to focus on the G8 and talked about the G8 New World Order. And you can type rise of the G8 New World Order into Google and you'll get that article. I was already pretty convinced that this was a G8 operation, 9/11. G8 sanctioned, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Putin wasn't surprised. He didn't fall off his chair when 9/11 happened, if you know what I mean.
And I think a lot of people didn't really, you know. You said Vladimir Putin, but a lot of people didn't fall off their chair. I mean, Bush was sitting reading a book at the time. He didn't fall off his chair.
He didn't fall off that chair, yeah. But in the political capitals of the world, at the highest levels, this was a pragmatic political decision which was taken, led forward, it has to be said, by some G8 members, but nodded and winked to by other G8 members. I was identifying that issue, as I say, about a year ago. And then just before the London bombings, I was identifying Live 8 as a psychological operation, as a PSYOP. Mm-hmm. Now, then we had the London bombings, but I'd prefer to call them the G8 bombings, because let's not forget they took place coincident with the G8 meeting. So I'm saying to people, I was steering you in the right direction a year ago talking about the G8, and the coincident bombing at the G8 meeting in London indicates that I was right as to the scope of this operation. And if it's that much bigger than merely Bush and Cheney, and I'm not letting them off the hook, I'm just saying much bigger than merely Bush and Cheney, then the intelligence operation in support of this has been, I've seen evidence of it being multinational in scope. And I'm saying to people, this is bigger than you have thought so far.
So what role do you think Bush plays in this?
Bush, like most modern political leaders today in modern politics, and you want to watch the movie The Candidate starring Robert Redford to understand where this all came from, scripted comments are the order of the day. There are political operators who examine demographic trends, and the business of being a politician is fitting into a slot in a particular political management operation and saying the things you're supposed to say at the times you're supposed to say them. I'm not saying that George Bush is simply acting on orders and hasn't got any input into all of what's gone down. The Bush family clearly have input into what's gone down, and the Bush family presence in the intelligence community in the United States with George's dad running the CIA is an indication of what we're dealing with, as is the fact that Vladimir Putin is ex-KGB. So bracketed on the left and right of that G8 spectrum, we've got Russia and the USA, and we've got intelligence-connected individuals running both countries. That's why I say this is much bigger than you think. This is multinational intelligence known about, sanctioned and covered up, and therefore the operations that have been deployed against people who might find the truth out are vast.
If the person who's visiting the site does their own digging, is there a chance that they could be enlightened from what they've read?
It's been very educational to see what happened with the election issue, the presidential election issue in 2004 in the USA. And they led people up the garden path with the John Kerry presidential bid. And then they did a double whammy on them because they led them up the garden path again. Kerry led them a second time, the core activists, up the garden path with the idea that he was going to challenge the election and didn't. So this is going to keep happening to the left in particular in the United States. It's going to keep happening unless they wise up.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit like, I suppose, people are reaching out and looking for some kind of hope, or they're looking for some kind of clues to where they'll find the answers. But basically what they're ending up doing is ending up feeling like footballs.
Yes, and to an extent they're right, because they have been used as footballs, as political footballs, very callously used. And their need for hope is played upon by these people.
Mm-hmm. You know, that experience of being played like a football, you eventually end up just totally emotionally drained.
You know, psychological operations has always played a role. These were psychological operations. They're meant to leave you feeling like that. They're trying to achieve that effect. And similarly, when they led people on the expectation they were going to get somewhere with the issue of the electronic capacity to steal elections in the United States, their hopes were raised again. to be deliberately dashed. They've pulled this stunt so many times. They did it again with the Live 8 people, where knowing that the London bombings were going to come along, they ambushed all those good-hearted people by encouraging their hopes of some kind of a breakthrough on the issue of debt and debt relief and equity for the third world, to deliberately dash those hopes. These people are at war with left-wing opinion in the Western world, besides left-wing resistance to their imperial agendas in the third world.
It's the same game as the stories put out that America is going to be attacked again. The UK are going to experience more terrorist attacks, and it has people on guard all the time.
Yes, on edge. And when they get you on edge, when they can destabilize you emotionally and get you reacting emotionally, then you're in serious trouble because they can manipulate you. So the way to defeat this is, don't focus on external heroes who are going to ride to the rescue.
This is one thing that I'd like to ask you about is, do you regard yourself as a hero?
No, I do what I do. I have no idea how to get a Unix operating system up and running. I'm just a bloody good political analyst, and I'm a good analyst of psychological operations, and that's what I do, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also pretty good at working out how the universe works, and that's on treeincarnation.com. So,
hey, listen, we won't have any of this.
All right, so I have a few brain cells, but then, you know, we all do our thing, and this is just what I do.
Okay, let's just take a break for a little music. You're on breakfornews.com, and we'll be right back. This is Cathy McMahon.
What if I told you it was done with mirrors? What if I showed you it was all a lie? Better be careful, someone might hear you. The walls have ears and the sky has eyes. What if I said you were on the dream? What you won't bet that all you gotta do? Open up your eyes and you wake up screaming, and you realize that it's all come true.
Hush now, don't you believe it? Cover your head and close your eyes now. Take it or leave it. Go back to bed now, don't you cry.
Soldiers fly across the water. One in ten never coming back again. 50,000 sons who never grew to fathers. Don't you ever wonder who they might have been? Oh, what if you could have been there on that day in Dallas? What if you could wrestle back the hands of time? Maybe something could have been done in Memphis. We wouldn't be living in a dream that's died.
Hush now, don't you believe it? Cover your head and close your eyes now. Take it or leave it. Go back to bed now, don't you cry.
Secrets. Go on and tell yourself that you don't want to know. It's best that you believe you don't hear the footsteps that follow you around no matter where you go. Maybe you were thinking that it didn't matter. Maybe you believe nobody else will care. But once you've added every little lie together, you finally find the truth is always leading.
Welcome back to breakfornews.com. This is Cathy McMahon and I'm interviewing Fintan Dunn. In relation to Alex Jones, somebody commented that you had been very friendly with Alex Jones. So maybe I'll just give you free rein and let you comment.
Mm-hmm. I know people on the left in the United States who are sickened, almost physically sick at the thought of Alex Jones, let alone anything else, and wouldn't tune into his show and can't stand where he's coming from. And what I'm saying to people is that that isn't an accident, that Alex Jones, his style and presentation is designed to put off people who haven't already done their own research on this material. For the rest of the world who are not tuned in at that level, Alex Jones is designed to put them off. It's over the top. It's tabloid. I mean, I've referred to this in relation to 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's designed to just look that bit cooky, just crazy. Much of the stuff that he's talking about is going on. The thing is, he's framing it in such a context and in such a way and presenting it in such a fashion that far from carefully empowering people about how they handle the modern superstate, he's actually turning it into some kind of a vast force. Mm-hmm. He makes it seem like an irresistible vast force, which is about to roll over us all. I'm not being unfair when I say that.
Well, he's not the only one, really, that does that. You know, that has radio shows that does that. I mean, we've had experience of other radio shows which runs on the whole fear agenda, because that's what gets the listeners. And really, then, when you come down to it, would you say maybe that it's the listener that makes the presenter?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I'm not basing my inclusion of Alex Jones on the fact that he promotes a sort of fear agenda. I'm also basing it on good sound analysis of the kind of stories which he's pushed forward, the kind of people he's put on, and that underlies my analysis of him. But at the macroscopic level, when you pull back from the minutiae of what he's reporting and you've analysed it and decoded it and understood what lines are being pushed and why they're being pushed and how that's fully consistent with the line the CIA wants everybody to follow, the overall presentation is designed to actually drive people away from the issue, unless they're already hardcore. So it is a clever way of boxing people in.
Okay, I've got one more question in relation to this, and that would be, are you jealous of Alex Jones? This is a question that has come up. It's not a question, these are statements that have been made, that you're jealous of Alex Jones.
Right, well, I've given Alex Jones credit in an article, and it was about the fact that Alex Jones's movie is way better than Michael Moore's movie on 9/11. Michael Moore's movie is total middle-class picket fence.
Hang on. So you're saying, Alex, you still stick by that, Alex Jones's movie is better than Michael Moore's?
It's better than Michael Moore's because it at least gives you some kind of an idea of what it is that you're dealing with. Michael Moore's movie is a lie-hop movie. Let It Happen on Purpose is the implication. It's the Nasty Bush guys who did this to us. And that's where Michael Moore is coming from. At least Alex Jones is dealing with the New World Order as an entity, and he's seeing it in his best moments as bigger than just the Bushes. So you're getting more truth in the Alex Jones movie than you're getting in the Michael Moore movie. And, you know, full credit to Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a very good on-air presenter. Do what he wants to do. But my analysis of what's going on is that it's part of the tactic of keeping us running around in circles. Mm-hmm. And when you see movies coming out like The Power of Nightmares, these are intelligence agency productions, and they've got so much money, folks, that they can cover the bases because they just have money to burn on this issue. It's social control, and the budgets are off the record and virtually unlimited. So movies like Power of Nightmares, it starts talking to you about Al-Qaeda, and how Al-Qaeda is, you know, mythical in some regards, and how politicians are exploiting fear, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. That movie is designed to set limits to what people will think is really going on. Michael Moore's movie was designed to set limits to what people would think was going on. And the limit that's being set is this, that this is a cabal which has taken power in the United States. They're called the neocons. They're heavily influenced by the Israelis. They have some kind of support in the military structure of the United States, and they have covert backing by some powerful interests in the political establishment, and between them all they had a coup and they sort of took over. Now, I'm afraid that would be great if it was just that, because it could get rid of Bush and Cheney, and then that would be the problem solved, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that size of a problem. It's a far, far bigger problem than that. Because what I've seen from the cover-up of 9/11 is that it involves, it's multinational in scope, that it involves people, let's just go across to Britain again, power of nightmares, designed to make us think it's a neocon problem. Michael Meacher comes out and starts taking 9/11 positions. And we have George Galloway, who recently came over to the United States and made buffoons out of the senators because he was able to stand up to them and give them lip and tell them where to get off. Michael Meacher, George Galloway, the power of nightmares, all of these are intelligence operations.
Mm-hmm. Some of the spin is that there was a coup.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to mind there about the album, The Coup. Where do you think all that came in?
The album cover featuring the two guys grinning and the Twin Towers burning in the background. That was a psychological tactic. This is a sort of an in-your-face pretend coup that really is a coup. But it's more of a business coup. You know, this is purely business. Nevertheless, it dresses itself up in the clothing of fascistic militarism in order to try and intimidate people.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to put out this subliminal message that there's been a military takeover in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, secretly, there's been a military... This 9/11 attack is the first sign of this military takeover in the United States. You want to watch yourself. This is where we plug in the Alex Jones and other fearmongers material of concentration camps have already been built. They'll be rounding people up. And what the fuck do you think this is meant to do but to intimidate you? So when people are telling you they got the concentration camps built, they'll be taking us away any day now. That's not somebody tuning you in to the secret plans of the government. That is somebody hyping up a load of bullshit in order to intimidate you politically. And many of their actions in the United States have been designed to so intimidate the left by using these psychological tactics. Guantanamo is another example of that, where that's in your face deliberately in order to intimidate you. This is not a military coup. There has been no inside group which have suddenly seized holds of the reins of the United States. The United States establishment and its military and political structure is a good cop, bad cop routine. Sometimes they put on the velvet glove and you get a Bill Clinton. And the Bill Clinton is designed for an era when America will expand economically with a favourable world view of it as a country. And when they've done enough of that, and they often flood the world economy with money at the time in order to grease the path of their influence over the rest of the world as they turn this extra vapor cash that they create using the central banking system, as they turn that into investment and control around the world. And then they switch, they take off the velvet glove, Bill Clinton's gone, and you get a George Bush, and then they do a military thing for about 8 years, and then they have a return to another guy. Or girl.
So what you're saying is that basically this is just all business.
It's all business, and George Bush, in terms of the way he's portrayed in the media, is the nasty guy. They want you to focus on him as the nasty guy so that then they can have a regime change thing. And this is where Patrick Fitzgerald comes into all this, the question of Patrick Fitzgerald. And I'm writing an article on that at the moment about the good guys, the good cops, the bad cops, and the stolen election. Is that Patrick Fitzgerald and the presence of Daniel Ellsberg on the scene and the recent revelations about Deep Throat are all raising the whole Watergate meme, a meme being an idea or set of ideas that are designed to influence us. So who's raising the Watergate meme and why? Two interpretations on that. One is they're raising the Watergate meme because they are ready, because of the disasters of the campaign in Iraq, to cut George Bush loose and let him take the fall. Second interpretation, they're not doing that at all. They are going to pretend to do that. It's going to go all the way, like with the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing. It's going to be a big media attention grabber. It's going to let people blow off steam, help demonize Bush, help reinforce the idea that it's all about Bush and not about the entire US establishment. And at the last moment, Bush will escape just like Clinton did. And that way they'll have bought themselves another 6 months, because we'll have had all that hype. And that's what they're doing primarily right now, is they will promise us Rove's head on a plate, Bush's head on a plate, everybody's head on a plate, if it will divert us long enough so that they can just keep in Iraq, because they hope to outlast the Iraqi resistance. It's their big problem right now. The Iraqi resistance is very strong. It's not going away. They launched a massive counterattack against the United States following the election. We saw it went on for months, an unprecedented level of violence, and the Iraqi resistance brought the momentum of the creation of the new Iraqi state to a halt, and it remains halted. So the response of the Western G8 imperialists was to stage the London bombings in order to shore up support longer, because they need longer to bring Iraq to heel, as they see it.
Okay.
I don't think they're ready to get rid of George Bush yet. They need him around for a lot longer, because if they get rid of him now, the 9/11 issue could rebound out of the nowheresville in which they've already got it. That's one of the most important things for them, is keeping 9/11 in the box.
What is the purpose?
Well, the purpose is that it's becoming a small world. It's becoming a well-educated world. Already, India is a major competitor in information technology. China is a major competitor in almost all areas. You know, there's more people bidding for a share of the pie. And what these people have decided, they are largely white, it has to be said. You know, mm-hmm. US, Europe, Great Britain, Russia are the people heading it up. Is they've decided that the Islamic world is disposable, should be kept as a colonial possession. And they've determined that Africa should be kept as a colonial possession. They'd like to keep South America as one as well, but there's an awful lot of problems there, because the South American people are strongly resisting them at the moment, which increases the pressure on the rest of the world. So they're looking for easy targets. Africa's an easy target, and the Islamic world is an easy target. They want to keep both of those zones down, and this is how they're going to do it.
But why?
Well, because by keeping them down, they can exploit them.
So you're saying that 9/11 happened, Al-Qaeda are blamed on that, people in third world countries are blamed on that, in order to give the West of the world the excuse to go in and annihilate those people?
Well, to economically restrict them, yeah, by establishing a military presence in the Middle East to politically prevent the development of, you know, we have a European community. Why don't we have a Middle Eastern Muslim community? Well, because such a community might act in its own interest, in the interest of its own people. That's why. And they don't want that. So, and similarly, in Africa, they don't want a fully independent African Union along the lines of the EC. So those are the geopolitical reasons why it's been done. But not just those reasons. Also the reason that corporate power wants to assert itself, and corporate power wants to run things. That's another big dynamic behind this. So there are geopolitical interests for the G8 countries, and then there are corporate interests, and many of the corporates are, of course, G8-based corporates, so those interests overlap. And then the other interest that they all have is that people are becoming more intelligent, more well-read. They have the internet now. They can do things for themselves, find information for themselves. And so the traditional structures are all under pressure. We're under pressure as we hit 1999-2000. And their answer to that social pressure for reform and for a flatter model in society instead of a control model, they've responded by pulling the 9/11 issue and trying to row us back into a control model.
Where do the CIA fakes play into the bigger picture?
Well, I think how they play into it is this, that you can go, for example, to a site, leftgatekeepers.com, and take a look at the chart they have of corporate funding of the alternative media in the United States and think tanks, radio stations. Democracy Now, for example, is funded. Mother Jones is funded corporately, etc. That's well known. What I'm saying with that list is that outside of that, there are operations which exceed that vastly in scope. I'm saying that, unfortunately, I wish it was otherwise, but unfortunately, the left as a political force exists in the hearts and minds of ordinary people in the United States. They believe in it. They believe in the dignity of the ordinary person and that the ordinary person should have a chance to earn a living justly in a just society. They believe those things. But the political structure that is on top of that is fake, 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 fake. I mean, it has people like John Kerry who cynically sold people down the river in there. It has entire outreach mechanisms, of which MoveOn.org is one classic example, funded by George Soros because he wanted to get rid of George Bush, he said. These are just fake outreach, and that's what they do. They are in the business of going out there, and if they think that there is valid left-wing sentiment building up in a particular area, they invest in that area.
Yeah.
And that's going on all around you. It's going on at a vast level. And the level of media control which these people have on the internet is the equal of their control in the mainstream. Let me repeat that. These people are as in control of the internet as they are of the mainstream. They do that by being in control of the high traffic sites on the internet. Where the traffic is, that's where the volume is, that's where they make sure they control. And they invest for that control. It's just
because
money.
At the end of the day, it's all business.
It's just all business. And if they can make a profit while they're at this social control, then that's exactly what they will do.
These people who are investing for their own financial gain are exploiting the vulnerable, the people who are out there looking for answers, who are genuinely looking for answers, are being exploited.
Yeah. And the defense of all this in terms of where do we go from here, knowing that this astounding level of social control is possible because of media control, both on the internet and in the mainstream, how do you move forward if they're controlling the levers of political power so fundamentally? How do you move forward? Well, the analysis has been done by ordinary grassroots thinkers and activists, and they've identified that you do it by flat structures, cooperative networks of individuals who achieve goals independently, who say, I'm going to do this all of my own idea. That way I know there's nobody manipulating the idea because I'm going to do it myself. It's my idea. I'm going to follow it through and I'll see it through to its conclusion. I'll network with others. I'll keep my eyes wide open. People do have to keep their eyes wide open. Hopefully this has helped to open people's eyes as to the scope of control of the media.
I think that wraps it up for me, for now anyway. If there are any questions, perhaps if people would like to post them on the forum, and I'll gladly put them to Fintan. I'd just like to say thank you, Fintan.
Well, thank you very much, Cathy.
And I hope you get the bus home okay.
I got just picked up the overall impression listening to you there that, no, you probably don't work for the CIA.
Thank you very much.
I'm more sure of that now after this interview than before, so I can sleep
much.
More soundly now, I think.
Oh, good. This has been Cathy McMahon for breakfornews.com with my guest Fintan Dunn, and we'll be back soon. Take care. We're never gonna survive.